Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Lloyd, and I am happy to be here today. I represent the many healthcare workers at Renown Regional Medical Center, who are very enthusiastic about protecting newborns, as well as adolescents and adults from pertussis. I've only been the perinatal CNS there the last 5 years. It's a large facility. We started the first United States full cocooning program in July of 2006. We immunize free mothers, fathers, significant others in families for both Tdap and influenza. Now, you probably thought that I was just going to put a map up and put little pins on, but I couldn't figure out how to put a map on the PowerPoint. Okay, so I'm computer non-friendly. My objectives today are to give you a snapshot of cocooning programs, various ones across the United States, to provide you with information on options and different ways of starting cocooning programs, because not one way works in all areas, and thirdly, to motivate you to go home and actually do something in the hospital or the community in which you work that will help to protect newborns. You might have thought this was also going to be a scientific-based presentation, but I have two literary questions to start out with. What are the first 12 words in A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I think that certainly describes where we are right now with financial challenges, with Hollywood medical types, with all of the information and misinformation that's out there. And yet, groups of people like this who are highly motivated to protect people, vaccines coming out that can provide that protection for so many diseases. Second literary question, how many of you read my abstract? Oh, you pathetic people. Okay, you have nothing better to do. I lied in it. When I started this presentation, I was only going to present 6 hospitals, but it just started pouring out as I made contact with my CDC advisors and people I had been working with over the last year, and I didn't want to cheat you, and I don't want to cheat Dr. Walter, so I'm going to talk really fast for the rest of the presentation. Okay, key points for us to remember. Pertussis is still out there. It is still growing. It's still highly contagious. We know that the most vulnerable population are newborns and children less than 1 year of age. We know that the main vectors are going to be those people providing care, the family members, the healthcare providers, the daycare providers. We know that there are 2 vaccines out there now that will cover from 10 to 64 years of age. Isn't it fabulous that we have so many choices? So what are we doing about all of these things? Well, in 2001, the Global Pertussis Initiative defined cocooning as immunization of family members and close contacts of the newborn. A lot of hospitals didn't start programs because they thought, well, we just can't do everybody, or we can convince this population, but we can't convince that population. Well, if we just can't do it all, we won't do it at all. Okay, I'd like to propose that partial cocooning is a viable option in the United States today. This could be immunization of new mothers after delivery on postpartum, as Christine was talking about. It could be just immunizing care providers of pregnant women, newborns, and babies. You have to start somewhere. This is my mantra. You will chant it the rest of the week. Some cocooning is better than no cocooning. Could I hear that, please? I thank you, babies of America, thank you. Okay, so who were those pioneers? Who were the ones that, in this best of times and worst of times, said, okay, let's try it anyway, let's do something? Well, they all faced the same challenges. I think these are the basic ones you can think of: cost. And we know in these fiscally challenging times, that is a huge issue. Sustainability. Nobody wants to put all the work and effort into a program that's going to last for 6 months. How are you going to keep it going long term? The effort it takes to start a program, to convince all the key players, and then maintain that program and maintain that. Try and think about my poor postpartum nurses providing immunizations for Tdap and influenza during flu season to mothers and fathers and significant others when you have a birth rate close to 5,000. It's a huge amount of work. And then the last is, how do you prove your program has value? Well, These are my champions. Now, I don't want you to be offended if your state is not up here. I don't want you to be offended if your hospital is not up here. This is just a snapshot, not a whole view. Let's start in Massachusetts. Harvard Vanguard. This isn't even a hospital. This is a healthcare organization, a practice group, 500 specialized physicians, 100 advanced practice nurses, or PAs, that deliver babies and care for babies at four Harvard teaching hospitals. Dr. Ben Krestal is the pediatrician and director of infectious services who leads this program. And he says they have more than 400,000 patients in their practice. They are a not-for-profit organization. But he says, we're a fairly idealistic group. The four hospitals that they work with are Beth Israel Deaconess, 4,800 deliveries, Brigham and Women's, 9,200 deliveries, Newton Wellesley, 2,800 deliveries, Mount Auburn, 2,400 deliveries. Those of you who are mathematicians might want to be adding these numbers as I go through this today so that you can look at what this small group is impacting in numbers. Okay. They are providing Tdap only to postpartum women and encouraging parents of newborns when they go in for their two-week visits and their pediatric visits at this point. They are the only group in these hospitals providing the postpartum Tdap program as ACIP recommends. But last Thursday, the key players at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center were meeting to discuss rolling this program out on postpartum. Don't have the results. I'll just have to tingle and hope that if they're meeting, they're thinking, this is a good idea. Okay, well, how are they paying for this? Insurance pays for some patients, and Harvard Vanguard absorbs the rest. Remember, this is a not-for-profit organization. They believe in cocooning, and they did influenza for a long time before Tdap was developed, and they'd like to bring that back and do that together. They do it because it's the right thing to do, and they don't have any data yet, and Dr. Krestal said he has a morbid fear of the IRB, so he's going to do an operational study to show the value of their program in the near future. Let's move on to Connecticut. Bridgeport Hospital, 2,500 deliveries. Charlotte Hungerford, 500 deliveries. Greenwich Hospital, 2,250 deliveries a year. Middlesex Hospital, 1,200 deliveries. St. Francis, 3,200 deliveries. Yale New Haven, 4,800 deliveries. Still coming in Connecticut. Milford is going to be starting in May of 2009, and they do about 500 deliveries a year. Waterbury is going to be starting this next week, and they do approximately 1,500 deliveries a year. Okay, how are they meeting the challenges? Well, the vaccine is being provided free to these hospitals by the Connecticut Department of Public Health out of their discretionary $317. Their sustainability, they believe in the concept of cocooning, and they're trying to grow their programs and encourage other hospitals to grow their programs also. They think it's worth the effort. They know it's a lot of hard work because they're just in the middle of it now. They don't have data yet, but they will show the benefits of cocooning over time. Okay, Georgia. Northside Hospital, 17,000 deliveries a year. That's not a typo, by the way. Okay, this is the largest birthing hospital in America. They read the 2006 ACIP recommendations and started their program in October of 2007. They provide Tdap on the postpartum floor and encourage the fathers and other family members to go to local health departments for further immunizations. There is no special funding for this program. The hospital absorbs the cost of vaccine if they are not insured as part of their quality clinical guidelines. As for sustainability, effort, and proof, Northside Hospital, which is the largest single birthing hospital in the country, is pleased to participate in the efforts to raise awareness of the benefits of the Tdap vaccine. Just makes you want to smile, doesn't it? Cocooning in Michigan. University of Michigan at Ann Arbor, 4,000 deliveries a year. They just barely started their cocooning program last month. They mentioned it wasn't an easy journey. They don't even know the beginning yet. Okay. And Linda McGrath, who I've been communicating with over the last year, says, I now appreciate your efforts and accomplishments even more. Okay, cocooning in Illinois. This is a collaboration between the Chicago Department of Public Health and 16 out of the 19 delivering hospitals in Chicago, looking at about 43,000 deliveries a year. They provide free Tdap vaccine to mothers on postpartum out of their $317 and plan to use their stimulus money to keep these programs going. That's their sustainability. They are immunizing the mothers on postpartum, and the number of doses that they have given already just in January through March of this year is greater than the whole total they gave in 2008. So the information is getting out there by a variety of means. Way to grow. Okay, let's talk about Texas. Okay, right here in Texas, Ben Taub General in Houston, 5,000 deliveries a year. Parkland Memorial, just down the road, where my son went to medical school. Okay, 13,500 deliveries a year. Seton Medical Center in Austin, 3,500 deliveries a year. Okay, just offering postpartum to mothers, Tdap. Okay, right now going on in Texas, there's a discussion between the Texas Department of State Health Services, the Texas Medical Association, the Texas Society for Pediatrics, the Texas Association for OBGYNs, and the Texas Hospital Association about collaborating on a cocooning initiative. Collaboration is the key to getting these programs going and to keep them going. Idaho is more than potatoes. Cassia Regional Medical Center, Burley, Idaho, 750 deliveries a year. That's not a typo either. They started in 2006 after the ACIP recommendations came out. They started off by immunizing their staff, their physicians, and then they started on their mothers on postpartum. Well, where did they get this idea? It's not a very big hospital. They got the idea from Utah. I told you I spent the last 5 years in Reno being a perinatal clinical nurse specialist. In another life, 15 years before that, I worked for IHC in Utah as a certified nurse midwife, doing thousands of deliveries for them. IHC isn't just a hospital, but it's a healthcare system. There are 21 hospitals in Utah and one in Idaho. They are not only offering Tdap and influenza, but varicella, MMR, and when clinically indicated, pneumococcal vaccine to all new mothers on postpartum. This is a huge effort. Okay. Bear River, 50 deliveries. Logan Regional, 1,200. McKD, 48. LDS, 48. What does IHC look like to board a telepertussis? Scary. Okay. Intermountain Medical Center, 5,000 deliveries a year. Riverton will be opening in 2009 and has plans to start. Altaview, 3,000 deliveries a year. Heber Valley, 1,200 deliveries a year. Where I delivered four of my last six children, and where I delivered my 2,000 babies as a nurse midwife. American Fork Hospital, 3,200 deliveries. Orem Community Hospital, 1,415, one of which was a grandson. Utah Valley Regional Medical Center, 4,798. Still cocooning in Utah. Delta Community, 100. San Pete, 160. Fillmore, 50. Sevier Valley, 250. Finally, in southern Utah, Valley View, 1,000 deliveries a year. Dixie Regional, 3,600 deliveries a year. It's a lot of babies. How are they meeting the challenges? Well, they increase their global coverage for pregnancy in their biggest selling insurance policies. Then they absorb the rest. They started in 2006 and they're still growing strong. They do it because it's the right thing to do. And the research backs that up. Proof of value, IHC has produced many documents on research-based findings, and I have a feeling that something will be coming out in 2009 from them. Cocooning in California, Tahoe Forest, Truckee, California. It's 10 minutes from my house, but it's in another state. 1,200 deliveries a year. Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. I've been in close contact with Dr. Sylvia Yeh there, who is a professor of pediatrics at Harbor UCLA, and they are going to be starting their program affecting 7,500 deliveries a year this summer. Finally, you thought I'd never get there. Cocooning in Nevada. It is Nevada, by the way, not Nevada. Okay, renowned regional medical center. Last year, Financial Times, delivery rate down, 42-41 deliveries. But every single mother, every single father or significant other, and other family members, whenever possible, were offered free Tdap and free influenza and flu season. We had three babies admitted to our hospital from Northern Nevada for pertussis last year. In every one of the cases, one was a 2-month-old, one was a 4-month-old, and one was a 5-month-old. In every one of the cases, the vector was an infected parent. And as we went back and reviewed the records in the infant's chart, the non-affected parent had been immunized and the affected parent had refused immunization in all three of the cases. St. Mary's, which is our competition, it doesn't matter to me, I took our program to them, 2,254 deliveries. Next month, they've only been doing the mothers on postpartum. Next month, they will add the fathers. Carson Tahoe, we took it there. They do 1,000 deliveries. They're just doing the mothers on postpartum and hope to add the fathers later. Interesting case, Carson Valley Medical Center in Gardnerville. They don't do labor and delivery. Guess what their tie-in is? Their emergency department usually ends up doing 6 precipitous surprise deliveries every year, and they wanted to give the best care they could. Plus, they said they see a lot of newborns in their ER, so why wouldn't they catch families then and immunize them? So they are looking to start in the fall of 2009, and they're going to start with their staff and then move on. Okay, what more can I say? Cocooning is possible. You just have to be creative. Well, we've learned a couple of things in looking at all of these hospitals. How do you finance a program? You can do it through insurance. You can do it through federal $317 from your state health department. You can absorb some of the cost. You could apply for grants, or you could do a combination. What about sustainability? Our program is 33 months old, 2 years and 8 months now, and we're still going strong. They are sustainable if you believe in the concept. Effort, it is hard work, especially getting started. But when you look at immunization acceptance rates, anywhere between 25 and 95%, it makes the cocooning effort well worth the effort. Proof of value. There will be studies coming out, I know, from hospitals all across the country showing that rates are changing because of this program. Northern Nevada is not a highly populated area, but our rates have gone down, and hopefully in the near future we will have data to prove that. I am grateful to healthcare workers across the United States who have taken the challenge and have found creative ways to collaborate together to create programs to protect not only newborns and infants, but adolescents and adults also. I'm grateful to the scientists and the vaccine manufacturers who make these vaccines available for us, for the fabulous CDC and for their advisors to health divisions across the country promoting programs that are proactive for health. To the hospital I work for that allows me to A, take time off to come and speak, and gives me time and lots of slack in keeping this program running in my hospital. To healthy babies everywhere. Because this is why we do it. Thank you to each of you for your interest. I hope that you'll go home, that you'll think about some of the things that Christine and Dr. Walter and I have said today, and think about a way that you can start cocooning programs in your community. Thank you.